Blog Talk Radio.
Marcus Kane. As I see it, common sense in a world of insanity.
Ladies and gentlemen, last night was the second Republican debate, and I'm sure many of you watched at least a portion of it, and I came away from this Republican debate with a few takes on it that maybe you haven't heard before. The first one is that these debates are not debates. There is no debating that's going on that stage. These are individual questions being asked by moderators who do not have the time to allow everyone on that stage to answer that question. Therefore, it is not a debate. It's not a debate if I ask one person, what is your feelings about China? And they say what their feelings about China is. And then I go to the next person and they say, can I answer that? Because I have a difference of opinion. And you say, no, because your question now is on if UFOs exist. That's ludicrous. Now, I'm exaggerating. They didn't do the UFO thing in this debate. But the bottom line of the situation is it's not a debate. Debates mean an exchange of ideas. There was no exchange of ideas on that stage last night. This was a job interview being conducted by three people who clearly had no interest in having a debate. They wanted questions answered in a succinct manner so they could get to the next question. They admitted it. They were literally saying, no, you don't have time to answer that question. We're moving on. I would rather have less questions and an actual debate among the candidates about the questions being asked than I would have 50 questions, which is only answered by one or two candidates tops. We don't know many of the candidates' feelings on certain topics because they were not allowed to opine about them. They were told we're moving on to a different category, so we don't know the answer. This does not serve the public well. So the first thing is these are not debates. These are job interviews. Secondly, and I know this is going to make some of you upset, but my goal on this show is to tell you the truth as I see it. Secondly, there's not one person on that stage currently ready to be the president of the United States. I'm sorry, but there isn't. I was actually shocked. Poorly, most of them did. I was actually shocked. I was looking for a breakout moment from Ramaswamy. He did quite well in the last debate, I thought. I was looking for a big breakout moment for DeSantis because I thought he did quite well in the last debate. We didn't get any of it. The person who made the most sense is the person least likely to even be around for the next debate, and that's the governor of North Dakota. The couple of questions he did get asked, at least he answered them. Our current political system does not allow for these debates, and I'll tell you why they don't. And this is why I don't blame Donald Trump for not showing up. A, they're not debates, and B, what happens is you are prepped by a team who says, you need to get this line in. You need to say this. You need to look in the camera and say, the border is out of control and we must stop. You have to say that exact line. It's like rehearsed actors. So they'll ask somebody a question. You know that gas is $7 a gallon in California and possibly going up. What would you do to alleviate the gas prices for people who are suffering under them? And the candidate will say, you're absolutely right. Gas prices are out of control. Now, let me talk about China for a minute, because I really feel that China, you did not answer the question. You're getting in your talking point that you were told by a professional team backstage, get that point in. Make sure you get that point in. Doesn't matter what question they ask you, revert back to Donald Trump didn't build the wall. It doesn't matter what question you're going to ask. It doesn't even have to be about immigration. What do you think of the educational system in this country? Yes, you're right. That's a very important topic. But, you know, Donald Trump didn't build that wall. It has nothing to do with what you're being asked. All you're doing is repeating things you're told to say. You're regurgitating rehearsed lines. The American people do not want to hear regurgitated, rehearsed lines. They want to hear your honest opinion on something, and nobody was willing to give it. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't a moment or two. There was two things that stood out to me, and I'll tell you what they are. The first one came from Vivek Ramaswamy, who, when asked point blank out, why are you on TikTok? Why are you, who's so anti-China, why are you on TikTok when you know that's controlled by the Chinese government? You know they're collecting all kinds of information. You know that they're a scam. Why are you on TikTok? And his answer was very good. And he said, this is the problem with the Republican Party. You want young people to vote for you, but you won't go to where they are. They're not going to come knocking on your door. Nobody in college or you know, just graduating high school is going to say, gee, I wonder what's going on Nikki Haley's website. I think I'll go to NikkiHaley.com. Nobody's doing it. You've got to go to where they are. Otherwise, they only hear one side, and that side's the Democratic Party because they're for sure there. So while they're there, utilizing that platform to preach their ideology, you're saying, no, we're not using it. We'll just let them have an open platform without even competing. So Ramaswamy is right. Now, I'm not saying TikTok isn't a ripoff. We all know it is. But if the Democrats are going to use that to spew their ideologies, you've got to have the rebuttal so that younger people who are on TikTok can hear the other side of the argument. Otherwise, they don't. So he's correct. The second one came from Ron DeSantis. When asked by a moderator who prefaced her question in the worst possible way, and I will tell you what she did. It was the girl from Telemundo, the woman from Telemundo. I have to be careful what I say. The woman from Telemundo says, given the fact of the fentanyl drug runners are actually Americans and not illegal immigrants or drug cartels, what would you do, Mr. DeSantis, to slow this? Well, that's a false premise because that's not true. You've just started the question with your own personal opinion and your own political ideology. And if he answers the question, then it's almost like he's agreeing with you. Yes, you're right. It is Americans who are running the fentanyl. So he had to rebut it, and he did. He said, no, it's the drug cartels, and they have to be eliminated. And if Mexico was such a great partner of ours, how come they don't eliminate them? So he was right about that. And that was a good moment for DeSantis. Aside from that, those two moments, and one or two decent answers by the guy from North Dakota, you got a clown show. I mean a real clown show, and one that we should be embarrassed of. If you're a Republican, you should be embarrassed. You had Chris Christie, who had to get in his Donald Duck joke, which fell flat, totally flat. You had Nikki Haley, who answer to everything is, we must stop Russia. We must stop China. Yeah, I know, because you want to go into a war. That's your whole basis. You're a warmonger. You've always been a warmonger, and you're going to continue to be a warmonger. And then you have the ultimate gall to turn to Vivek Ramaswamy and say, every time I listen to you, I feel like I get stupider. I get stupider listening to your answers to the questions. If Vivek Ramaswamy had said that to Nikki Haley, she would have said, you're a misogynist. Right? So she can get away with it. But if any man said that to her, she's going to play the misogynist card instantaneously. So she's a phony. I mean, this is just ridiculous. Tim Scott's a nice guy, and I'm sure he's a patriot, and I'm sure he works very, very hard, and I believe he's an honest man, and I believe he is someone who cares deeply about the issues he espouses to care about. He does not have the mental toughness to be the president of the United States. And it was proven because when he was challenged by Nikki Haley, he folded like a wet suitcase. Stumbled all over himself. Well, the curtains forget it. He can't do it. He doesn't have the killer instinct to sit across the table from foreign leaders who have that killer instinct and look them in the eye and have them say, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I want to cross this guy. And you need that. So unfortunately, Tim Scott, as much as I admire him and think he's a good guy, he doesn't have it. Now, Chris Christie says, well, and he rightfully says, I'm one of the only people on this stage who can win Democrat states. I won New Jersey. New Jersey's a Democrat state. Chris, the reason you won a Democrat state is because you're basically a Democrat. If we wanted a Democrat, then we'd run a Democrat. We don't want a Democrat. So you saying I can win Democratic states, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can, because about 65% of your policies are Democratic policies. We've tried that, Chris. It doesn't work. And by the way, in case your debate coaches are not telling you, you're coming across as a bitter, angry man. You're not coming across as a problem solver. You're coming across as a bitter, angry man. You're coming across as a guy who shut down the bridge out of spite. You're coming across as a guy who, because Donald Trump didn't give you a primo spot in his administration, you want to destroy him. I remember you standing behind him, clapping and smiling from ear to ear. Wonderful how Donald Trump is just revolutionizing the political game when you thought you were going to get a big fat position. When you didn't get a big fat position, suddenly he's the worst thing in the world. No one wants a disingenuous person like you to be the president of the United States. I'm sorry. And you're not even really a dyed-in-the-wool Republican, so I'm sorry. The only thing he has going for him is he's a guy who will fight back against, you know, criticisms and things. He doesn't shrink away. He might have a little bit of that killer instinct, but he's not a Republican. Truthfully, neither is Donald Trump. You know, I was saying the other day to some friends, if Donald Trump, in his current political ideology, the way he is right now, 15 years ago had a run for president, he'd be a moderate Democrat. That's how he would be perceived. Well, he's a moderate Democrat. Now he's perceived as a far right-wing lunatic because the Democratic Party has shifted so far to the left that it's become basically a fascist party. So even a moderate Democrat looks like a right-wing conservative. That's how far it swung. So last night's debate proved nothing, except there's only one person we can really count on to be the president of the United States, and that's Donald Trump, at least right now. This is the line in the sand, folks. This is the problem. If this was a peaceful, you know, sort of a transition of, oh, well, the Democrats think one thing and the Republicans think another, but we're all trying to do the best we can for the country, and some of their plans don't work, or we don't believe in their plans, and they don't believe in ours, but we're all toward the same goal, then somebody like a Ron DeSantis would be fine. Somebody like a Tim Scott might be fine. But we're not there. We are at the line in the sand where this is it. If a Democrat wins this election, you will not recognize this country in 2028. It will be irreversible. It will be gone. And for that reason, you don't need a nice guy who's soft-spoken. You don't need a warmonger. You don't need a half-Democrat. And you don't need a guy who's just a younger version of Donald Trump. Why accept the substitute when you have the real thing? Ron DeSantis and Donald Trump disagree about almost nothing. So would you rather go see the cover band, or would you rather go see the actual band? Because that's sort of what it is. DeSantis was given some horrible political advice. DeSantis should have absolutely 100% supported Donald Trump and said he is the person that needs to lead this country. Accept the vice presidency nomination, which he would have got easily, and then 2028 would have been his ticket to the White House, and he would have been unbeatable. Instead, he was told by his political handlers, no, you got to strike while the iron's hot. You got to strike when you have all this great publicity about how you did a great job in Florida. You got to do it now. And clearly he wasn't ready. Clearly his campaign has been poor at best. Clearly he hasn't been adequately prepared for his speeches or to come out and do a lot of these events, because he comes across unfriendly and, frankly, he comes across unlikable sometimes. That's something you got to work on. That's something you got to cultivate. He tried to go too far too fast. Ron DeSantis could still be the future of the Republican Party, but he's moving way too quickly, and he's trying way too hard, and it could cost him. Critical mistake to run for president at this time. Critical mistake. Absolutely critical. Now, is any one of those candidates up there better than Joe Biden? Absolutely. Absolutely they are, by a lot. But folks, you're not even going to be running against Joe Biden. Are we clear that Joe Biden's not running for president yet? You know what the Democrats are going to do. They're going to limp him along and limp him along, probably till they get to the convention, and then they're going to get rid of him. Every day, more evidence comes out that Joe Biden's corrupt. Eventually, you're going to hear the Democrats acquiesce and say, well, it does appear as though there are some definite questions that need to be answered by Joe Biden. There's a black cloud hanging over him, and we don't feel comfortable with him being our representative at this particular time, so we feel we have to substitute. That's what's going to happen. They already know that's what's going to happen. You got Gavin Newsom debating DeSantis for what reason? For what reason is the governor of California debating a presidential candidate? There is no reason. If he wants to be the guy that they choose when they kick Joe Biden to the curb, which they will do. Now, don't be so quick to rah-rah the Republicans either. Some of these Republicans know if we can put enough pressure on Joe Biden that the Democrats have to throw him under the bus, maybe they'll put in a candidate that will beat Trump. There are some of these Republicans who don't want Trump in at all costs. And they know Trump's going to win. They know Trump will beat Joe Biden by a considerable margin. So now they're working their fingers to the bone saying, how do we get enough evidence on Joe Biden that the Democrats will throw him under the bus and put somebody else up that maybe they can, maybe Trump can't beat? Every one of those people on that stage is hoping that Donald Trump goes to jail or something, or is put in Mar-a-Lago house arrest so that they can gain power. All you had to do, folks, as a Republican candidate, did you want to know? I shouldn't give this away. You want to know how you beat Donald Trump if you're a Republican candidate? Here's how you beat Donald Trump. You come out, you look the American people dead in the eye and say, look, Donald Trump was an excellent, excellent president, and we disagree on very little, and his policies are pretty much my policies. What I am going to tell the American people is this. If you vote Donald Trump in, the Democrats will never allow him to accomplish anything. They will keep right on trying to impeach him. They will keep right on trying to indict him. They will keep right on with this nonsensical campaign against him. He will accomplish nothing despite the fact that he wants desperately to do it, because they won't allow it. For me, if they turn all their attention to me, then they reveal their game. They reveal that it was all just a scam, and now they're going after me instead of him. So they can't do that. So I have a better chance of getting Trump's policies through than Trump himself does. That might resonate with the American people, and you say, well, you know, there's something to that. Nope, instead, you got Fred Flintstone, Chris Christie saying, Donald Trump is Donald Duck. Donald Trump only built 57 miles of wall. Well, that's a blatant lie. You just lied to the American people. Why should I vote for Chris Christie when you lied to me? There's 400 and some odd miles of wall built, Chris. And Mexico did pay for it with the tariffs that we imposed upon them. They didn't cut a check for the wall. See, that's what typical Democrats think. Well, Donald Trump said Mexico would pay for it. Show me the receipt where they paid for the wall. They didn't pay for it by saying, here's a check for the wall you're building. Trump never said they would do that. He said they'd pay for it in the tariffs and things that they imposed on him, and they did. He meant no money's going to come out of our pocket because the extra money we're getting from the tariffs and things on Mexico will handle the wall. That's what he meant. Chris Christie knows that's what he meant. He's lying. So I'm not going to vote for him because I don't want a liar and a disingenuous person to leave this country. Nikki Haley, she does the same thing. Well, you know, Donald Trump never was hard on China. What are you talking about? He had China on their hands and knees. Well, Donald Trump went to Russia and said that Putin was an excellent leader, and he had a lot of respect for him. Yeah, because that's what you say to people who you're in public. You know, when you have a business, like Donald Trump is a businessman, you don't say, well, listen, I'm going down to Russia, and this madman, this lunatic, this psychopath who thinks he's tough, this dictator, this murderer, he's an idiot. I'll steamroll over him, don't worry. And then that gets back to Putin, and Putin says, I ain't even talking to the son of a bitch. Right? So of course you say those things. It's called warming the person up for the deal, okay? In private, Donald Trump doesn't think those things. That's what he says in public. Then when he gets in private, he tells Putin, if you do this, if you invade the Ukraine, we got some targets on you. And what does Putin say? You'd never do it. And what does Trump say? Try me. Try me. And did he try him? No, he did not. Because that is the art of the deal. He flattered Kim Jong-un enough to get Kim Jong-un to come up here and talk. And was there any tests of rockets all that time? No, there was not. You can't negotiate with somebody if before you sit down at the negotiating table, you call them every name in the book and say you have no respect for them and everything else. Why would they negotiate with you at that point? If you don't understand that, I don't want you to be the leader of this country. Because you're not going to be able to negotiate with them. They're going to shut you off. Would we? If the president of China said, well, listen, Joe Biden, a feeble old man and a stupid son of a bitch, and as far as I'm concerned, he's responsible for the deaths of all these people and from fentanyl, and he's a dummy and he's an idiot. Are we going to entertain him at the White House and say, thank you for coming so much? Let's sit down and have a really nice talk, you and I. No, you're going to say, F him. Then forget it. Cancel our talks. He thinks that's, you know, the way I am? Screw him. You can't do it, folks. So there goes Nikki Haley out the window. I'm sorry, but we have to understand. Ron DeSantis said the same thing. Ron DeSantis says, why isn't Trump on the stage? Donald Trump owes it to the American people. Ron, you know why he's not on the stage. Number one, he's up by 50 points. Number two, he is currently under a gag order for the indictments he's in. So you know what's going to happen when Donald Trump walks on that stage? They're going to ask, what do you think, Mr. DeSantis, of our current school system? Well, first, I'd just like to say that Donald Trump is going to jail. Donald Trump illegally did X, Y, and Z. How can you vote for a man that does X, Y, and Z? Mr. Trump, do you have a comment? No, I'm sorry, I can't. Because legally, he cannot. They'll all attack him on it, and he won't have any way to actually defend himself because he's been ordered by a judge not to. And you want him to walk on that stage and just take shot after shot after shot after shot and have no recourse? That's being a bully. Oh, yeah, I wish he was on the stage so we could downgrade him about how many times he's been indicted instead of saying the truth, which is these indictments are phony, they're politically motivated, and they're absurd. Why can't one person just be honest? I like Ron DeSantis, but why couldn't Ron DeSantis say, look, I don't blame Trump for not being here. He's under a gag order. He's being indicted illegally and unconstitutionally by these crazy liberals. And I'm sure he's thinking that if he gets on the stage, everybody's going to attack him. He's going to have no recourse. So, yeah, I understand why he's not on the stage. And it only gives me more time to preach my message to you. Because if he was on the stage, he's going to hog up a lot of the time. So we should all be thankful that we have the opportunity to come out here and express ourselves as much as we do. If he had said that, I would have said, now there's an honest man. There's somebody I can really get behind. There's someone who told it like it was. But he didn't do that, folks. He lied to you and said, he's not on the stage because he doesn't really want to face the music. That, you know that's not true. You know that's not true. You were told to say that, and like a fool, you said it. Instead of being honest with the American people, the American people see through that, right through it. So I'm sorry. There's absolutely nobody on that stage that's currently ready to be the president. Now, they're all much more fit than Joe Biden. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't vote for any of them if they do happen to be the candidate and Biden happens to be the candidate, because I would. It would be the lesser of two evils. I would do so fully knowing not that much is going to change. Because we now have that line drawn in the sand. This is not a time of peace. I hate to say it. It's not a time of peace. The Democratic Party does not exist anymore. This is what people have to understand. You can call yourself a Democrat all you want. There is no Democratic Party. The Democratic Party was the party of the Kennedy. Ever since that dynasty ended, the Democratic Party has made a slow inroad to becoming more and more and more a fascist and communist party. This is no longer a Democratic Party. First, you let one or two in. Then it was three or four. Then it was five or six. And then before you knew it, the real Democrats were outnumbered by the fascists and the communists and the socialists. And now you have to do their bidding because majority rules and they're the majority. You don't have a party anymore. You let your party be taken over by those people. And now you're dealing with the consequences. So any of the people on that stage will be better than whoever they run, whether it be Gavin Newsom, whether it be Michelle Obama, which would be a joke. Michelle Obama, everybody's trembling. Oh, if Michelle Obama gets in, that's curtains for anybody that's a Republican. How so? This is a woman who literally said the day her husband got elected, this is the first time in my adult life I've ever been proud of the United States of America. Is that who you want to be the president? Someone who's never been proud of the country except when her husband gets elected? That should disqualify her automatically. There shouldn't be anybody that would vote for her based on that statement. And I don't think it's going to be her anyway. I think it's going to be Gavin Newsom, which I don't understand how they think he's going to win. He practically couldn't maintain his own state. He was almost recalled as the governor of California and just barely squeaked by. In probably the most liberal state in the whole damn country, he just barely avoided getting recalled. Gonna win? This is why the Republicans are fighting so hard, because every one of them on that stage, Ron DeSantis, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, they all know whoever the nominee is in the Republican Party are probably gonna win. Probably gonna win. That's why they're fighting so hard. And they were told, go out and attack Trump. And like idiots, they did it. Well, Trump has a 50-some-odd percent approval rating with the Republicans. So every single time you attack Trump, the Trump supporters say, yeah, I'm not voting for him. So that's a very, very smart thing to do. As opposed to defending him and saying, I just think I'd be a better president. I think I'd bring less baggage. I think I'd bring less chaos. I could restore a little bit of, you know, decorum while still implementing most of his policies. That would be a good argument. You got Mike Pence, who I haven't even mentioned, who thinks, I guess, he's in an evangelistic church preaching, literally saying, oh, Donald Trump tried to circumvent democracy. Donald Trump tried to overthrow democracy. And then when he's asked about things that he accomplished, oh, yes, our administration accomplished that. We were great at that. We were energy independent. We had the border secure. Well, which is it? Pence? Is he terrible or is he great? You can't make up your mind. Everything good you want to take credit for and saying, that's right, our administration did that, and I was a big part of it. Everything bad is that's Donald Trump's fault. No one's voting for you. Wake up. Unbelievable, folks. If the Democrats had a good candidate, I would be worried. Beyond worried. But they don't. So third-rate candidates, which several of these are, have a shot. Now, there's some A-list candidates. DeSantis is an A-list candidate. Ramaswamy could be an A-list candidate. But Ramaswamy lost me last night. Because when he was attacked, finally attacked, even if it was by Nikki Haley, who said, why were you in business with China to make medication for China as opposed to the United States? Now you're all against China, but you were doing business with them. Instead of answering the question, which he just said, well, I got out as soon as I knew, but everybody on the stage is wonderful. Yeah, we didn't ask you to be the kumbaya guy. We didn't ask you to go pat everybody on the ass. You were asked a direct question. How much money did you make off of that, and when did you pull out, and why did you pull out? You didn't answer it. I'm sorry. That was a bad look. Really bad. The only person who really didn't hurt themselves last night was DeSantis, but he didn't. He also didn't. I don't think he did anything to make himself much better. He just treaded water. He didn't say anything dumb. He didn't do anything dumb. He didn't do anything spectacular either. He just said the same things he always says. We know. We know what your take is on this, Ron. We've heard it. And that's partially the moderator's fault, too. Could you come up with a question you haven't asked him 3,000 times? At one point, I'm actually laughing watching it. What is your thoughts on, do you think the border is secure, Mr. DeSantis? No. What's he going to say? Yes, yes, I do think it's secure. In fact, I think it's wonderfully secure. Thank you for the question. Yes, it's very, very secure. What do you think he's going to say? Who the hell wrote that question? My God. And then at the end, that's such a juvenile thing. Who would you kick off the island? Luckily, everybody didn't fall for that except for big fat Fred Flintstone, who thought he could get in one more knock on Donald Trump. Donald Trump off the island, despite the fact that 54 to 55% of Americans want him. So now you've just admitted you don't care what your own base wants. Congratulations, Chris Christie, the dumbest man in politics. How in the world you would ever fall into that trap, I don't know, but if you're that dumb, you can't be the president. At least Ramaswamy said, I'm not doing that. Everybody up here is doing the best they can, and if they can do what they're going to do. Pence was smart enough to say that. DeSantis, even Nikki Haley was smart enough to say it. And believe me, Nikki Haley's on my last nerve. Because her answer to everything is go to war. That is way old school Republican warmongering uniparty nonsense there. So yeah, folks, it was a debacle. DeSantis came out about the same. Ramaswamy lost some, I think. Tim Scott proved he's a nice guy who's ambitious and patriotic, but he's not ready to be the president. Chris Christie's a bitter dude who still butthurt that Donald Trump didn't make him a big wheel in his administration and is trying to get revenge. Mike Pence still thinks it's perfectly okay to run the country as if every single person is a strict Christian. They're not. You got to be the president of everybody. So nobody wants to hear it. And I'd be saying the same thing if it was a Jewish person or a Muslim person or whatever. I don't want to hear it. Because not everybody has those beliefs. So why are you preaching that? If you want to do that, go become a preacher. Not the president of the United States. So I'm sorry. I don't see anything. Doug, whatever his name is, gave a couple of good answers. He's not ready to be the president. I'd be perfectly okay if he was given a job in the administration. I think he's done a pretty good job. He seems like a smart guy. But not the president. There are two people on that stage who should have nothing to do with the Republican administration if Trump wins. One of them is Chris Christie. The other is Mike Pence. Everybody else I'd be comfortable with if they wanted to give them some position. Nikki Haley is a question mark. Don't give her anything to do with our defense, or we'll be at war. But aside from that, folks, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing anybody who could give Trump a challenge. So I don't know what to tell you. Let's get on to the fact that Donald Trump, a judge ruled that Donald Trump was fraudulent in grossly exaggerating how much Mar-a-Lago was worth in order to get loans on it. And literally ordering the business to fold. This is someone who has openly, blatantly admitted time after time after time she hates Donald Trump and she's the judge. Do you know how rare this is? This is so rare, I can't think of another case of it. And she has said, yeah, we value Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. Are you on drugs? Here's what I want you all to do. Go look at some property around Mar-a-Lago, not Mar-a-Lago. Go look at some properties a third the size of Mar-a-Lago, but right in that same vicinity. And you're going to find out that things a third, an eighth of its size are going for $12, $14 million. But Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18. I got news for you. There are houses that celebrities used to own that are probably, if no celebrity owned it, probably worth $1.5 million. That are going for $8 to $10 million because a celebrity once lived here. Well, who do you think Donald Trump is? The very fact that that was Donald Trump's estate already makes it worth more than $18 million before we even get off the ground and talk about the actual property. See, what she's going by is what it's tax assessed by. Tax assessment does not have to do with the value. Go try to buy a house. But it's assessed at $250,000, tax assessed. But it's on the market for $750,000. Yes, because that's the actual market value, not the tax assessed value. This isn't going to stand up in court on an appeal. This is just one more piece of crap to try to throw in front of Donald Trump to attempt to stop him from running for the presidency of the United States because you are so afraid of this man. And if you can't figure out already that when people are this afraid of someone, it's because they have something to hide, then I just don't know what I can do to get through to you. Are they doing this to Mike Pence? Are they doing this to Ron DeSantis? Are they doing this to Vivek Ramaswamy? No, they are not. And you know why? Because they're not afraid of him. They don't care if they win. They're still not afraid of him. Oh, if he wins, worse comes to worse. He'll play ball with us. We can handle him. He doesn't know all of our secrets. He'll be fine. We'll oppose some of his policies and try to block him when we can, but nothing harmful will happen. They know Trump's going to go scorched earth on their ass. So they're pulling out everything they possibly can pull out because heads are going to roll. and they can't have it. And that includes Republicans, too. I'm not talking about just Democrats. There are Republicans frantically trying to stop Donald Trump because they know the head's going to roll, too. Because the one thing Donald Trump has done that no other president that I know of has ever done is he has policed his own. He has literally said, yeah, Mitch McConnell is worthless. Do you honestly think in your wildest dreams, Vivek Ramaswamy or Ron DeSantis or Mike Pence would ever in their wildest imagination say something like that about a member of their own party? They wouldn't. They might think it, but they're not going to say it out loud. They're going to say, well, you know, he's a good man. And no, he's not. So Donald Trump came right out and said, look, he's an idiot. Mitt Romney's an idiot. The only person you're going to hear stuff from like that is Donald Trump. The rest of these people, they're not going to do that. Did Bush do it? No. Did Reagan do it? No. Nobody did it. Republicans, in fact, Reagan was the one who said, well, you know, you shouldn't talk bad about another Republican. Why? That's the one thing I've always disagreed about with Ronald Reagan about. Why? That would be like saying, well, you know, if there's a bad cop and you're a good cop, don't call him out. Don't call him out. You're all police. You're all brothers. You let him do him and you do you. No, I don't want that. I want somebody who's going to call him out and say, no, you're not playing the game fair. It's not right. Trump is that person. Nobody else on that stage is. Nobody. Not a single solitary soul. You know, we should have known this way back when Barack Obama was running for president against John McCain, and John McCain gave that one speech, and person asking a question, I'm so afraid of what's going to happen to this country if Barack Obama wins. And what did John McCain say? No need to worry. Even if he did win, everything will be fine. Nothing's going to drastically change. The news media exaggerates so badly, and they put fear in people's hearts, but even if he wins, it'll all be great. Oh, is it all great? Everything going well? In the meantime, when Vivek Ramaswamy is asked, how would you bring down gas prices? His answer is, we got to get people back to work. How is that going to lower gas prices? Did you understand the question, Vivek? The question was, how are you going to lower gas prices? And the answer isn't by putting people back to work. And then you got these rocket scientists saying, well, even if we did drill, baby, drill, it's got to go through a federal court, it's got to do this, it's got to do that. No, he can sign an executive order, which is exactly what Trump said he was going to do. Stop bullshitting the American people. You're already setting us up for, well, even if I get in, don't expect gas prices to be lower. We have to go through channels, and it will take a long, long time. Donald Trump's the only guy that's saying, no, it's not going to take a long time. I'm going to do this instantly. How come you guys are already dragging your heels? No, we want to lower your expectations. Yeah, that's what I want. I want lowered expectations. That's what I want from the Republican Party. Lowered expectations, because my expectations are already low enough. Can't be serious. I want you to understand that there are people currently, good, hardworking people who can barely afford to put food on their table. By the time they pay their rent or their mortgage, by the time they put the gas in their vehicle to get to work, by the time they bust their ass and put clothes on their kids and shoes on their feet, and pay for their insurance, and pay for everything else in the world that's gone up. They go to the grocery store, and they see $5, $6 a pound hamburger, and they can barely feed their family. And you're talking about, well, you know, got to put people back to work. Doing what? How many jobs you want them to have so you can take their money and ship it off to the Ukraine? Five jobs, is that enough? While you sit on your ass and write on a piece of paper, yes, let's give more money away that isn't yours. This is ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. This isn't a cult of personality. This isn't about who has the best joke or the nicest smile or can sing an Eminem song. This is about country. You got $7 a gallon gas in some places in California, and hamburgers $5, $6, $7 a pound. You can't get out of a fast food restaurant with one meal for less than $15, $18. And you know why that is, folks? I warned you all about this. I don't want to hear one person complaining. I went to McDonald's, and I ordered a number three, and it was like $15. Used to be like $8. You're the ones who wanted $18 an hour minimum wage. What did I tell you was going to happen? I said you're going to get replaced by machines, or they're going to raise the price of their food, or both. Because they're not going to take the loss, folks, and they didn't take the loss. So now while you're eating your $18 an hour Happy Meal, or $18 Happy Meal because you're paying somebody $18 an hour, remember what I told you. The answer isn't to give somebody more money. The answer is to reduce the cost of goods so people can afford what they need. What's the difference if you make $100 an hour if gas is $100 a gallon? So all these people who are now saying, well, I make $18 an hour at McDonald's. Can you afford the gas in your car? Not really. Oh, well, could you when you were making $14 under Trump? Yeah, I had money then. Oh, well, you figure it out, Brainiac. That $14 that you were making was taking you a hell of a lot farther than the $18 is now. But I'm making more. Yeah, but the dollar ain't worth as much. Your buying power is way less than it was. Jesus, you used to be able to go to a fast food restaurant and get two value meals for about $18, $17. Now you can't get one. It's ridiculous. Every time you stop at a gas station, you just remember under Donald Trump it was $2 and change. And now it's $4. So it's double. So you got a 15, say you got a 20-gallon tank, and you fill it up. You're paying $80. You used to be paying $40. Do that once a week, and you're making $40 less, literally, a week. Take that right out of your pay. That's $160 a month less. And that's just on gas. That's not on the food. That's not on your electric. That's not on rent. That's not anything else. That's just on gas. You are now making $160 less, $160 less per month. Car payment. And you ain't got it. The Bidenomics is working so well. It's just working well. It's just doing a great job, right? Did you hear anybody talk about Bidenomics last night? No! They're too busy saying Trump is Donald Duck and Vivek Ramaswamy is stupid. That's what you want? Is that what you want? I just wanted one adult in the room to say, could we please get back to actual hard-hitting questions? The economy's in ruin. Russia and the Ukraine are at war, which is sapping America of all of its money. The border is wide open, flooding people with fentanyl and drug trafficking and child sex trafficking and everything else. And we're worried about Donald Trump being Donald Duck. Thank you. Can we get back to what matters to the American people? No, they were just happy. Oh, I get my shot at Donald Trump. Oh, boy, a question's coming to me. What did they say for me to memorize about Donald Trump to say? Instead of just speaking from your heart to the American people and telling them our economy's in shambles, our border is wide open, and it's destroying America. You're being taught CRT in schools. Your children are being force-fed a sexuality they're not even ready for. Your government is trying to control you. They're using the DOJ. They're weaponizing the DOJ against people. We have serious issues in this country that need to be addressed. I don't care who's voted off an island. I don't care who you think Donald Duck is. I don't care what curtains you have in your office. I care about what's happening to America. Did I hear that last night? No! Where's Donald Trump? Yeah, because that's what matters, right? You idiots. Not one person on that stage was smart enough to say, I'm glad Donald Trump didn't show up. It's hard enough to get 3 minutes to tell the American people what I think. If Donald Trump was on this stage, I'd be lucky to get 35 seconds. So I consider it a gift that he didn't show up. If I was him, I wouldn't show up either with the lead he has. But it's given me the opportunity to show you why I'd like to be in that lead. Did anybody say that to you last night, ladies and gentlemen? No, they didn't. Because they're being disingenuous, and they're being fed lines. Say this line, say that line. Fit this line in the first time you can. Instead of just coming out and saying, I'm really not that prepared. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to foreign policy and economy and all these other issues, immigration and all the other issues. I don't need any force-fed lines. I don't need to keep practicing lines. Ask me a question, I'll answer it. No, can't do that. We're going to go backstage for weeks and weeks before the debate. And if you're asked this question, this is the line you say. And then you say, well, Joe Biden's reading off the teleprompter. Joe Biden can't answer his own questions. Neither can you. Neither can you. You practice these answers. It's so obvious when they start saying, and I love it when they say, well, you know, they try to get fiery. Well, you know, the border is not secure, and that's why I want to be your president. And when I am, and I'm in that White House, I can tell you that with your support and the American people behind me, I will... Come on. What are you, auditioning for a Broadway play or the president of the United States? How about you just talk to the American people like a real person? That's why Donald Trump won! Can you not get that through your head, that he talks like a regular person? So people relate to him? Instead of somebody that's trying to sell you a used car? It's aggravating. Folks, all I can tell you is this. Judging from last night's debate, I would highly recommend that even if you like one of these candidates, you give Donald Trump a second look. Now, I am not one of these ever-Trumpers. I'm not. He wasn't even my first choice in the 2020 election primaries. He wasn't even my second choice. But I'm telling you that just like when you reach into a toolbox, you may say, look, a wrench is a very, very good tool. And I have a very expensive wrench and a very, very well-made wrench. But I'm not going to hammer a nail in with it. And the reason I'm not going to hammer a nail in with it is because it is not meant to hammer a nail. This is the wrong tool for the job. So I have a beat-up old hammer, but that will do the job a lot better than my fancy new wrench. Well, I'm telling you right now, a lot of these guys are blue chippers. A lot of these guys are and women are very smart. And they've forged a political career for themselves. But they're not the right tool. They're not the right tool for right now. You got to reach in and grab the hammer. Maybe Vivek Ramaswamy's that expensive wrench. Maybe, Ron DeSantis is that expensive drill. Good tools. Valuable tools for the right job. It's not going to hammer that nail in. And unfortunately, that's what we need now. So when you reach into that toolbox, please grab the right tool for the right job. Not the best tool that you think is the shiniest or the most expensive or the one that you're most proud of or the one that you most relate to, but the one that's actually going to get the job done in the most efficient manner, because that's exactly what you need to do. As far as this ridiculousness with Donald Trump and the fraud thing, folks, it's never gonna survive appeal. It's just another distraction. It's just another distraction. People are very, very close to getting Joe Biden to the point where people are going to have to say, yeah, he definitely was laundering money. I mean, you have the emails. You literally have the email saying what he's doing. The game is over, and it's getting worse every single day for Joe Biden. Joe Biden is not going to survive this. It's not going to happen. But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, okay, one corrupt politician goes away. How many more corrupt politicians are there? This is going to be replaced by another corrupt politician. Michelle Obama, who says, I was never proud of my country until my husband was elected president. So we never did anything good, landed on the moon, freed the Jews from the concentration camps. Was the first to do X, Y, and Z. No, none of that. I'm not proud of any of that. Proud that my husband became the president. Gavin Newsom, who fiddled while Rome burned and told you to wear a mask and don't go to your grandma's funeral, but he's out partying with people with no mask at a fancy restaurant that you can't afford to go to. That's who you want as the president? Fine. But then don't complain when that McDonald's hamburger is $18. Your meal is $18. Don't complain. Because much like I told you that what's going to happen when you raise that minimum wage, I'm telling you what's going to happen if you vote for another Democrat. Crime is out of control. We're at the point now where in Philadelphia, people are just running through the streets, filming it on TikTok or YouTube as if it's comedy act, while police are struggling with people and actually fist fighting them. And they're chanting, everyone must eat, but they're stealing iPhones as if you're going to eat an iPhone. They're not stealing food. I might have a little sympathy if somebody's in a store saying, well, I'm desperately hungry and I've got to feed my family and I've resorted to this as a last resort. You're not doing that. You're breaking in, stealing iPhones and liquor. And trying to justify it by saying, well, you got to eat. How about you get a job? I thought there were so many jobs. I thought Joe Biden said, oh, the jobs, there's more jobs than people. How come they can't find one? Because they did find one. Because you made a job crime. There's no punishment. It's easy enough to do. So, of course, you're going to do it. As far as we in the chat room, Derek is saying, well, people in the House are saying there is no evidence. There's a lot of evidence. There's a ton of evidence. They won't broadcast the evidence. So people think there isn't any, but there is. And when the time comes and the Republicans lay their hand down, which they've got a good hand, when they lay that hand down, I'm sorry, they're not going to be able to rebuke it. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know, because it'll probably disqualify Joe Biden for running for president, but it will just give the Democrats an excuse to plug somebody else in who has a much better chance of winning. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Anyway, folks, remember, the right tool for the right job. You don't throw your whole toolbox out just because one won't hammer in a nail. You just pick the right tool for the right job. Thanks for listening.